Hello, true believers, and welcome to Dexcelsior, a podcast about the Marvel Champions living card game by Fantasy Flight Games. I'm your host, John, and I'm joined by a fast-paced crew. Tonight, we have Sam. What's up, Sam?
You should have used smashing.
No, I'm saving that one. I'm saving that one. There's also Carlos. What's up, Carlos?
What's up? Hulk smashing down.
Ben's here too. What's up, Ben?
I'm here, I guess. Yeah, hi.
Yay, you're here.
Yeah, maybe.
And Matt. How's it going, Matt?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well, man. Doing really well. So, tonight, listeners, we're going to do our Marvel musings. We're going to do some newsroom. We've got some great, exciting news for everybody tonight. We're going to do some gameplay corner. We're going to have a little state of the game topic where we talk about kind of what the place, like how the game is right now, what's happening, what's got us excited about the game, and just where it is. And then we're going to get to a main topic, which is going to be tempo / resources and some just general gameplay and game flow tips for you all. So thank you for joining us, everybody. And before we get all with that going, I've got a question for you all. Waffles or pancakes? Matt.
I gotta say pancakes. I like the nice, fluffy pancakes soaked in maple syrup, so they're just a bit squishy, but not too soaked.
Interesting. Okay. Noted. Ben.
Waffles, 100%. Like, no question.
Interesting.
Just strictly better.
Okay. Ooh, some disagreement here. All right. Sam, what about you? Waffles or pancakes?
Neither.
Oh, get this guy out of here.
Waffling.
You're out.
On that, Sam.
Leave.
You're out.
Picky breakfast person. I like bagels. You know, bagels are good.
Somebody talk them talking because I can't hear them.
If I had to choose, it'd be waffles.
Okay, good.
But fair. Only from like a waffle maker and not like the Eggo pre-packaged.
Of course. Like, was anybody here thinking about Eggos? Because I've not about Eggos
like
in 20 years.
Like the Eggos, like French toast. But that's about it.
No. If you're doing Eggos, you do Eggo waffles. That's the only way.
Waffles are bad.
What?
They're better than the French toast. The Eggo waffles are better than the Eggo.
Ben.
What?
What's your choice?
I already said waffles.
He said waffles.
Oh, I thought it was Carlos.
Nope, it's Carlos. Carlos, what's yours?
But Carlos was mad because I like didn't have a preference.
Mine, if I'm making them, it's going to be waffles. Now, there's certain situations where you get to choose, and somebody can make like a very nice fluffy pancake. I might go for the pancake, but waffles are like on the safer side. Like, it's easier to have a bad pancake than a bad waffle.
Agreed.
I tell you, I really, if I could choose anything out of the two, if I could choose a flavor, it'd be pumpkin pancakes with some powdered sugar on top. That is amazing.
That sounds interesting. That sounds very interesting.
I'd try that. I'd eat that.
How about you, John?
I am all in on pancakes. Like, for this one, it's not even a discussion for me. I love a good fluffy pancake. It's nice. It's so good. See, here's my problem with waffles. And some people like this. With the compartments, like the syrup gets compartmentalized into all like the little waffle squares.
Oh, I love
See,
that.
I don't like that. I want my syrup to spread out evenly among everywhere. And I feel like with waffles, it's not spreading the syrup evenly because the syrup's getting caught in all these little pockets. And I don't like that.
That's true. But the thing is, I put really little syrup. I don't like them to. I don't like to feel like I'm eating syrup.
Oh, see, mine.
Or,
mine
or
is
honey.
Mine is like a medium for the syrup to get to my mouth.
But the thing I like, I don't just eat waffles with syrup. I eat waffles with you take like Choco Crispy or Lucky Charms. Or cinnamon toast crunch. And you take all that, you like break it up, and you put it into the pockets. And then you take like almonds. Then
oh my gosh.
What the heck? That's not a waffle anymore.
Yeah.
But I put little syrup, you know, because I don't want to put that much sugar in.
So, I'm glad we got to go toe to toe on this
Excelsior Civil War pancakes versus waffles.
If you just want to like drive it to the extreme, you put ice cream. I don't. I think that's too much, but I know people
like ice cream waffles.
And then you put whipped cream, and then you put chocolate syrup, and there you go.
Okay, now you bring up an interesting point. There is a local delicacy in the South, and any of my Southern brothers and sisters will know, chicken and waffles. Fried chicken and waffles.
I don't like those.
It's fried. It's literally what it sounds like. Fried chicken and waffles with syrup on
it. I've not been able to understand that. I've had it, and I just don't know why. Like, I love fried chicken. I love waffles. But why do you put them together?
I don't know.
Like, bacon.
I hate it together.
Pork, sure. So but the chicken doesn't.
Oh, what was that, Matt?
Chicken salty.
I don't know where that came from either. Don't ask me. But, like, I know I'm from the South, but I have no idea where the whole chicken and waffles thing came from. Somebody must have been, like, coming home drunk one night and be like, I don't know what I want. I got some waffles mixed in the fridge and this chicken. Waffles. That sounds
good. You know those, like, microwave dinners? They have ones now that's chicken and waffles. I don't remember the brand, but it's not just, like, popular in the South. I feel like it's more popular down there, but, like, I've had it. I can't. I don't like mixing the two.
Chicken and waffles are like a known thing already. Like people in the Dominican Republic will like kind of like 5 years ago, nobody have ever heard it. I had it. But now I'll be like, that's kind of like an American exaggeration thing. Like everything. So it's just
me. If I want that salty, sweet kind of taste, I'll have chocolate and pretzels, not chicken and waffles.
I don't like pretzels.
Well, speaking of Marvel Champions, let's go to some Marvel musings with Matt. The part of the show where Matt gives us our Marvel trivia. What do you got for us, Matt?
Food Network.
Well, this one's going to be Hulk themed because, Hulk was announced today. Woo-hoo. So people know the art and this one was commissioned. But what we may not know is those two artists, because there are two and not just one. One's a penciler, the other is a colorist, which in comics is often a common pairing. One person does the lines and the other does the colors. Those two actually are comic artists who've commissioned. I think their most famous work would probably be the Annihilation series, which I love, and I didn't even realize they were the artists for it until now. But I'd suggest checking out because they did all the interior art for that entire series, and it is just fantastic.
Interesting. I like it. I've been reading up on some of the Hulk, so I'll have to check it out.
And like, I might look at the other commissioned artists to see what other comic book artists we have and who are commissioned and not just taken from the comics.
Nice.
Question about Annihilation. Does he have any to do with Infinity?
It has Thanos.
Oh. Okay.
But yeah, no, it's not too related to Infinity.
Same villain. Totally different.
No, Thanos isn't even the villain.
Oh.
Annihilus is the villain.
Oh. I did not know that.
Who's Annihilus? Like a super Galactus?
He's basically the insect despot of the negative zone, which is it's basically a negative version of our positive universe. And the basic story is he comes through a hole connecting our universe to the negative zone, and it's called the Annihilation Wave, and it's exactly what it sounds like, and he basically tries to conquer the entire known universe. This isn't a spoiler. This is the first issue where he wipes out the Nova Corps.
Ooh. Oh, my.
Well, and then from there, it gets worse.
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for that trivia, Matt. And thank you to all of our patrons. Go to patreon.com/Dexcelsior to check out how to become a patron and look over our reward tiers. You can get a shout-out, enter giveaways, and even be a guest in a gameplay video. All proceeds go back into the podcast and the community. Your generosity is what makes you the true heroes of the podcast. And on this episode, we want to do a shout-out to Philiat and Joe P. Thank you both for your generous contributions. Awesome. Let's go to the Daily Bugle Newsroom. Sam, what has happened in the news since our last recording?
We got a decent bit of news. So Hulk was obviously, we already mentioned him, he was spoiled today. They did a live stream and there's an article. The article will be linked in the description. And we did our hot takes for it, so you can listen to that. It will come out before this episode, so you should have already listened to it. Thor will release on March 6th when this episode is due to come out. So by the time you're listening to this, you might have Thor in hand. And the final big piece of news that came out was there was an update to the rules reference. We will be covering this in the state of the game, but it is on the Fantasy Flight page. You have to go to the product page for Marvel. And then in the rules, when you hit the rules reference, it will show up on there. It's not, they didn't release an article or anything for it. It's just, it's on their page.
Nice. Cool. So pretty good news. All right, let's go to the gameplay corner. So what have we been playing recently? Let's start with Carlos. Carlos, what have you been playing in Marvel Champions recently?
Okay, so we tried to record a few games. And I mean Sam and Matt, recorded the best two games against Green Goblin ever.
Ooh, that's some high praise. I haven't gotten around to watching it yet.
I don't know if the game is that good, but the banter.
Oh, no, they made several mistakes.
Yeah.
What? You made several mistakes.
I made several mistakes? What are you talking about?
Yes, I called you out on it.
Oh. Here we go again.
And here we go.
This is also where our topic, our question today was derived from, which we'll get to in a second. But if you want to watch the first video, it is up on the channel. I will get the second one up soon. It's a bit longer to edit because there was a little more technical stuff in it. But the first one is called Goblin Chairs, and if you watch, you'll find out why.
I like the thumbnail that you made for it. Of course, I'm a sucker for any Spider-Man memes.
I mean, like, yeah. It was just fun because, first of all, we made Green Goblin Mutagen as hard as you could make it, I think.
Yeah.
Shadow of the Past, rear its ugly head, like, whenever it wanted to. Like, ooh, it was John that was playing.
Yeah. I was there in spirit.
Yeah. And then it's just like, it got so ugly. Like, it was so horrible. You know, you look at what Goblin, you know, sometimes we think about, like, is the game a little bit on the easy side? And then you play Mutagen Formula with Doomsday Chair and Under Fire. It's like,
oof. And for, like, we did use two encounter sets. It did not feel, I think it was actually harder using the two encounter sets than just one of them.
Of course,
because so, like, we couldn't defend with allies as well, and then the biomechanical upgrades made it impossible to effectively fight.
Yeah, I would also like to point out our first game ended the way it did because of Matt, so we can all thank
Matt. It flipped because you two were an alter ego.
You flipped after me and Carlos both already flipped, so we were all three in alter ego one turn. Let that be a lesson for you all.
It flipped on your turn before me. I didn't make a difference there.
Okay, what did the waffling come from? Somebody explain that to me.
So I made a comment during the game. I'm not dealing with Carlos waffling over his decision. He made his call. I'm not backtracking to make it better, even though he did screw it up. So I said waffling, and they had no idea what I was saying.
With that term waffling?
They thought it was some kind of Canadian... Yeah, they thought it was Canadian slang or something.
There was a lot of points in the second game where we just kept saying we don't speak Canadian to Matt.
And we now Ben know. And John here is waffling a word.
Yes!
Yes.
I've used that term before. Oh, that's funny.
10,000%.
And they're like, we're gonna go on the episode and we're gonna show Matt that it's a Canadian thing, and then I'm vindicated.
Nope, it's definitely a common term.
I grew up with the term flip-flopping and not waffling.
See, I've heard that. I know flip-flopping.
You flip waffles, don't you?
Arthur Ego.
Not necessarily. The waffle maker that I use.
Really? It doesn't turn over?
No, you just wait until it ends.
We're back. Huh. On the. We've come full circle. Full pancake.
I got,
if you
two
will.
Waffle makers. I also have like a really cool Millennium Falcon waffle maker.
And I've got a Death Star waffle maker.
Oh
wow!
It's pretty sweet.
I have a waffle maker.
I'm super jealous.
A Canadian waffle maker that flips. Yeah.
So his gameplay, and we lost. He got a bunch of threat because there was a bunch of schemes.
Don't spoil it. They still need to watch the video, Matt.
Okay, sure. I mean,
well, now they know.
It was tough. It was a tough one.
I forgot to put one, but there should be an NSFW on that video towards the end.
Well, you should go back and edit that. And definitely put that in the title.
I mean, it does. Interesting enough, it's like for the second one, we decided to cheat and just play Iron Man.
Huh. Nice.
But we also did get to feature the deck we built on air. We did feature that deck, not the Hulk one, the other one.
Oh, cool.
Both games, we featured that deck.
Yeah, I did learn something. I need to stop playing Miss Marvel. Like, after Miss Marvel came out, 95% of my Marvel Champions game have been with Miss Marvel aggression because I don't like her in any other. Not that she's bad, it's just that I don't like playing her in any aspect. So I need to like diversify a little. I haven't been playing the game that much, but when I'm playing it, it's just like, I'm just going to play Ms. Marvel Aggression. And if not, I play some other deck and I play horribly like I did the first video.
Ben, what you been playing? We know that these guys have been up to. What you been playing?
Okay. I've been playing a couple Spider-Man Protection videos. Or I made a couple solo Spider-Man Protection videos. And it went better than I expected. Like, I was kind of worried it'd be horrible. It is not horrible. It's actually pretty strong. As long as you don't get too many side schemes and stuff like that coming out. But yeah, so it's pretty great. Also, I played Miss Marvel Justice game, which she's so friggin' strong, Justice in solo. Concussive Blow is just freaking amazing in Miss Marvel. So, yeah.
I think Concussive Blow in general is just, like... I don't think we hyped it enough because it's such a powerful card.
Yeah.
Confusion compared to stun is such a big boost.
Yes. Right. I think confusion is always better than stunning.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, there's a reason it's rarer in the game. There's not as many effects that cause confusion than there are stunned.
So, yeah, I really love Ms. Marvel Justice. That's my favorite build for her. But, yeah.
Nice. I've not really been playing much Marvel Champions because honestly, I'll be honest here, Divinity Original Sin 2 has kind of sucked up my life.
That's not a bad thing.
Oh my gosh, that game is so great.
That is one of the best games ever. It's one of the best RPGs ever. And by the way, Baldur's Gate 3 is looking amazing.
Oh my gosh.
So,
okay, can we like take another tangent on this, me and Carlos, real quick? Have y'all played Divinity yet?
Oh.
No. Oh my gosh. Okay. Let's take a quick tangent. Listeners, you can skip ahead a little bit if you don't want to listen to this. But Carlos, this game is so great.
Are you playing with Beverly?
No, I'm not playing. She's got a lot of work to do right now. She's working on like becoming a fitness instructor, so she's got a lot of stuff on her plate right now, and she's also pregnant, so she's got a lot on her plate. But I'm playing solo right now. I've got some other friends that are playing, but I'm just kind of playing by myself. And it's still great. Like, I can see it being a lot better with more people because you can strategize and play with friends, obviously. But playing solo when you've just got is just so much fun.
I haven't been able to finish a campaign multiplayer. I finished Divinity 1 only in multiplayer. But this one, it's been like, it's so good in multiplayer. And there's so much things you could do.
There's so much.
It just becomes so much. Like, it's not that it becomes longer, because you can actually do multiple quests. Like, somebody can be off in one screen and the other one doing something completely different. And that's very fun. But at the same time, it's like, whoa, this takes time. So I've done, like, I have like 4 different multiplayer games that I've not finished. But even that little time that we play, it's been amazing. And they're doing Baldur's Gate 3.
Yes.
And it's kind of building off Divinity Original Sin 2. And it's like, probably when that comes out, listeners, we'll do maybe an episode on Baldur's Gate 3.
We'll do a non-Patreon supported Baldur's Gate 3. It'll just be me and Carlos. Me and Carlos will just be like fanboying all about Baldur's Gate 3.
I'm going to, like, Sam, for example, like, you said how much you like co-op games. I think you should give this one a look because it's an amazing co-op game. It's one of the best co-op games ever, like, designed. There are issues with the game.
Send me a link to it later.
Yeah, we'll do. There are issues with the game. I'm not saying the game is perfect, but it's on its way. Like, it is my favorite battle system in a video game RPG ever.
Yep.
Not my favorite RPG ever, but my favorite battle.
Great. Okay, tangent over.
Marvel Champions.
No, back to Marvel Champions. That's right. We're gonna. I already know what we're gonna title this episode.
Sorry about this, but how good would it be to have a Marvel RPG with that tactical system?
Oh my gosh,
fanboy lady. Or I could secretly just edit this all out.
So where's the fun in that, Sam? Come on.
No, there's not. Do you think I edit everything out? I edit the worst of it out.
Okay, well, let's get back on track.
She-Hulk could never continue. I know we talked about our game, but I tried about 2 games of She-Hulk last night and maybe like 15 over the past week, trying to beat Claw Expert, and I even switched up the module a couple of times, and oh my god, every time I think I'm about to win, Claw draws advance and I lose every single time. It's so frustrating.
What aspects are you playing?
Sam,
do not like She-Hulk.
Didn't you swore off She-Hulk?
It's an addiction.
It's an addiction. Like 2 years from now. 2 years from now, I'd be sitting in a therapist's office just trying to explain what She-Hulk is.
Therapist would be like, where did it all go wrong? Well, it started when I picked up She-Hulk. Then I protection.
What are you talking about?
She's like, what? I'm just like, this is the bane of my existence. You don't understand.
You don't understand.
Of course, She-Hulk. Like, I feel bad. Because I really like She-Hulk. There's something about it that really calls out to me, but...
It's getting a Disney Plus show when that eventually comes out. It won't be like next year, but she's definitely getting one, and so is Moon Knight. And
I thought she was getting a movie. Wait, is she getting a... Is She-Hulk getting a Disney Plus show, or is she getting a movie? I thought she was getting a movie. Or is she getting
Disney
both?
Disney Plus show.
Oh, it's a Disney Plus show, okay. Okay, I thought it was a movie.
Tangent, WandaVision looks interesting. And tangent.
Shortest tangent. This is the episode of tangents. The title of this episode is going to be Waffle Tangents. I hope you all know that. Hope you all know that.
Yes.
Okay. And make it like waffling over a title.
I mean, all right.
You know how long it's going to take me to find an image of a superhero making a waffle?
Rakim for a waffle.
I'm going to start the search now because that's going to be the thumbnail for this episode.
All right, Sam, you had a good idea for a topic. Why don't you go ahead and start us off on a kind of a state of the game topic? Where is the game at right now as far as Marvel Champions?
Well, my game is set up for me to play after the recording's over. Nice. I don't know about you guys.
Play She-Hulk?
No. But, okay, in all seriousness, the state of the game. So, we have the announcements for the first, I guess, full cycle, kind of. There's no formal cycles for this game. But the first full cycle, we know everything for it. And then the story box is essentially a send-off to what the game is going to be and how, I guess that's how the release schedule, they're going to reshape it with the story box. It's going to close out the first and maybe introduce the second. So right now, the heroes are coming out. Thor is obviously coming out this week. And then Black Widow with the Justice to finish out the four aspects for the first four heroes. So then after Black Widow, we get Doctor Strange and Hulk, they've both been spoiled. Doctor Strange having protection, Hulk having aggression. I assume the box, now we don't know for certain what's in it, except the little teaser they gave us. Oh my god, stop sending waffles. The box is going to come with more than one hero.
That was weird because I was laughing.
The box is coming with more than one hero and more scenarios than heroes. So there's a couple guesses on how it is. I think the anonymous or unanimous guesses. 2 to 3 heroes, 5 scenarios. That's the straight guess. That's what I hope for. I want more scenarios. And then we're going to get the wave of heroes after that. So that's kind of where the game is now. We just got a new rules reference update, which we'll talk about in a second. And I think the game's going strong because they're having to reprint because the demand was so high for this game. It's really phenomenal. And there are some interesting things in the rules reference that came up. So we're going to just discuss a couple of them real quick. The main one, now obviously this is on FFG's website, so you can read a lot of this, but we're just going to go over the really important ones. A lot of it's little changes, like one word changes, but so the biggest one right now is defend and defense. That we're going to do. Entry basically says that when an enemy makes an attack, the players have the option to defend against the attack, and there are different ways this can occur. The first three bullet points are the same. What's different now it clarifies that if no hero or ally is used, it's undefended. That one's pretty clear. But the difference is now that originally the action parenthesis or interrupt or response parentheses defense was considered of defense. Now you can only use a card that has that parentheses defense after the action interrupt or response when you are targeted by an attack or when you are the target of an attack. So for example, it uses a shield block. It has an interrupt defense. When you would take any amount of damage, exhaust the shield to prevent the damage. Now, since the new ruling, you used to, before this, you could just play it whenever you took damage. Let's say, example, when Norman flips into Goblin. Now, you can only use it if an enemy is attacking you, which really changes how some of these cards are played. Like Wiggle Room, for example, for Miss Marvel. But if it doesn't have that defense, you can still use it. Like Energy Barrier. That one is just whenever you take damage.
I think it hurts Preempt.
You guys have any thoughts on that?
It kills Preempt Strike a lot because you can't. It's not only when attack is made, it's that only the player who is the target of that attack can use it.
Ooh, that's an interesting point. That's a good point.
So Preemptive Strike was a card that I was never really like sure on how good it was. But in multiplayer, I thought it played an interesting role in that the protection player can also actively protect other people without necessarily defending. And now that's gone. And I understand the ruling. It clears up a lot of things, but I'm a little bit hurt by how it affects the interaction and multiplayer.
That one's definitely, I think, the biggest impacted card by it is Preemptive Strike. I still like the card because since I mostly play solo, I mean, other than when I'm playing with you guys and my dad mostly, it's still a good card. I mean, I'm going to play it either way. I think it really is upsetting that you can't use that on other players now, which, like, I really like protection, but I feel like thematically, protection should be able to just defend without having to defend. And so it's kind of disappointing, but it makes sense, and it's perfectly clear how they put it in there, what you can and can't use when. That's the first thing that was changed. And the next thing we really wanted to talk about was we finally got an answer to Green Goblin. What happens when he flips? And I'll read the response right now. Was when Green Goblin is attacking, if the last madness counter is removed and it flips to Criminal Enterprises through a boost ability, what happens? Now, we in our episode said that you should just take the attack as it were if Green Goblin was still attacking, but the actual effect is the star on Norman is effectively, it's a zero. It just, the zero isn't written there. And so the boost icons will add onto that zero. So if it has a boost of, if it has an extra boost or something that has two icons, you'll take 2 damage from the attack instead of none. But you'll also, it kind of makes the scenario easier than how we tried to make it a little harder. Not that the scenario needed it.
Yeah, well, in one way, the scenario, and this rule has made the scenario easier, but the other rule has kind of made the scenario a little harder, so I think it kind of bounces out because you can no longer use those things like wiggle room or shield, backflip when you flip him from Norman to Green Goblin to stop the damage from happening. So I don't know if one rule really outweighs the other, but I just know, like, man, flipping him is going to be a lot more painful now because you cannot cancel that damage, at least not with any card in the current card pool. You can't cancel it. You're going to have to take it.
Only card that affects it is Energy Barrier now.
Yeah.
Energy Barrier. That's right. That does affect it.
But this is consistent with how boost cards work, that the boost effect resolves first. So that is a consistent ruling. It's not something that they just pulled out of nowhere. It's just, I guess the confusion came from him having a star instead of a number there. It also states that the forced interrupt isn't triggering because that point of when he would attack has already passed because he's already initiated the attack and has already started the attack. So that's a big one. And then just a couple of other things. This is in the frequently asked question stuff. Like Jennifer Walters' objection ability can't be used against cards that, like, in, for example, in Claw, can't be used against the Immortal Claw, or not the Immortal Claw, the other one, Defense Network, because it's not a setup ability. It's a response. So technically it doesn't have the time to do that yet. And I guess the very last thing that's important is Loki, which forced interrupt. Now, the forced was implied, so I don't really think it was necessary, but technically you could just not trigger it. The forced was implied, but it's fine. I mean, it's just making it clear.
Something, a question here that I never really thought about is the fact that you can trigger Yarnborn after you play an attack event. I never thought about that. I only ever thought about it with basic attacking. I mean, maybe that shows how I'm not as creative of a player, but wow, that makes that card even better in my mind.
No, I'm looking forward to using it with Black Panther and Wakanda Forever, because you can use it the Panther Claws and the Vibranium.
Oh my gosh, that's really good. Wow. Yeah. See, I never would have thought of that kind of stuff. That's awesome.
Another one that I saw pop up a lot was Shrink doesn't remove 2 threat extra with emergency, because emergency is preventing threat, which is different than removing threat, and that's just cleared up here.
Yeah, that's another good one.
But there's a couple other things in there if you want to take a look at it. The best question of all that we really needed the answer to was, is there only supposed to be 18 leadership cards in the
Yes, there is. There's more she unique cards.
Protection cards. Why are there only 18 leadership? Because.
That's
other than that, it's minor changes, just like word changes, and then a couple little things added to sections just to make it more clear.
Yeah. So just feels like they're clarity. Mostly cleaning up the rules rather than making big changes. I appreciate that. I like the rules changes now that I've had a chance to think about them.
What? Are you telling me Fantasy Flight Games printed rules resources that weren't clear? What?
No. I do like this rules reference, and hopefully they keep updating this, every few months.
Yeah. Nice. Well, anything else anybody needs to add to our rules reference discussion?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, well, with that, let's go on to our main topic tonight, which is going to be tempo play / resources and general gameplay optimization. So, Carlos, what do we mean when we say tempo and tempo of play?
Okay, so I'm going to use this concept. I was just the other day watching a video by a very good Runeterra streamer, and he brought this concept that also comes from poker, which I think... But it's called equity. And if you start thinking about the game a little bit, about what he was explaining, I think it will help you a lot to understand the basic underpinnings of tempo. So equity is, at any given moment, what are your chances of winning or losing? And it's basically a 50% scale that goes up or down. Like you start, like you imagine that as the heroes, you have a 50% chance of beating the villain, who has a 50% chance of beating you. So the game starts, you look at your opening hand, you look at the heroes you're playing, you look at the villain you're playing, and you start assigning a percentage in your head. Like, you don't need to be accurate. This is not a super, like, number cruncher, like, what's going on, what's going to happen in 3 or 4 turns, but just a general idea. Do you feel you're over 50%? Do you feel you're closer to 80% winning? Or are you down in the lowers? Like, do you feel like this is a very, you know, you're playing mutagen, you don't know what you're drawing, you don't know if you're going to get shot out of the pass turn one, and that's going to, like, really impact your board. So you lower that percentage. And what that matters is that that's going to define what are your goals each turn. So if you feel the percentage is very low, you want to do riskier plays, plays where you do not care how hard the villain's going to hit you, because you're going to lose either way if you don't try to get a very big value play. On the other hand, if you are feeling safe, you feel you got things under control, then you might play safer. You might not do, like, super value plays that are risky, and you might just try to get, like, just play conservatively, try to get that threat down instead of damaging the villain, because you don't need to beat him quickly, because you know that in the end you're gonna win. Something important to consider there, that when you're talking about equity, you're talking about that, like, mental percentage that you're building up in your hand, you're not talking about the possibility that a really bad card is going to come out of your deck. That's another thing. Like, that's like, you just look through the discard pile, you see, are there advances there or not? That's, like, a different thing. Like, that's a very specific of what's going to happen. The whole equity thing is, like, a long term, am I losing or am I winning this game? And it takes kind of like I said, it's not a really rational number that you're just going to come up with statistic. It's about playing the game and just having that in mind, so it doesn't become a chore to think about it. It's just an overall feel that you get about the decks you're playing and the scenarios you're playing against.
Yeah, I would think it would be very different also, you know, for each scenario you have to think about, because what's winning against Claw would look different than what's winning against Ultron. You know, with Ultron, you're like, okay, how many I'm in a good spot if I've got no drones on the table and I'm feeling good about where I am. Whereas with Claw, you know, my condition might look different. You know, my point of that is, like, it's okay to have maybe one or two minions out, but I don't know. Yeah, that's very interesting.
I think a good example of this is, let's say I'm playing leadership and I have, like, 3 allies out or something, and I have a strength in numbers in hand. Now, if I feel like I'm losing and that the only way I can really get back or come back from this, I feel like if it's now or never, I might play that strength in numbers to try and dig for an Avengers Assemble and then play that. But if I feel like I'm on the winning side of it, I might not take that risk, and I might just use my allies to help stabilize the board as it is. That a little on the lines of what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And that that's a very good example. Like, don't take a risk if you don't need to take a risk. And, you know, there's also, like, and it happens to me. I fall prey to this all the time. It's that, and sometimes it's not even following chart. Like, you want to have fun. It's not only about winning. It's also about having fun. But should I try to get, like, that perfect value out of every play that I do this turn? If you do that, it might be that you're missing out on what you should be doing. Like, here we're going to go into the Avengers Mansion discussion. And this is, like, or maybe we'll start now about the Avengers Mansion. Do you play a really costly card that's not going to do anything for you that turn? Well, you got to ask yourself the question, am I going to lose the game in the next couple of turns? There's a big possibility that the villain is going to beat me. Then no, you don't play Avengers Mansion. But am I going to, like, if I play Avengers Mansion, is that going to flip the game? Since I'm trying more cards, since I have more possibilities, since I have more resources, is that going to create a game state where I'm assured of victory in the long run? Then you play Avengers Mansion, and you don't deal damage to the villain. You don't kill that minion. You don't thwart what you need. You don't thwart off the main screen that turn.
Mm-hmm.
Noticed anyone who read the Team Covenant guide, they had a really good guide when the game came out, said was that, I know I'm not going to go too deep into it because it is their product, but I think they said this elsewhere too, is that on the turns you damage, that's how you win. You kill the villain. Now to be a fit, and now there's a difference between efficiency and maintaining a board state. The efficiency comes in doing as much damage as possible, and I think this is close to what they said, is that a game where you end with one thwart away from the scheme going out and the villain dead is you maximized your damage, whereas a game that you have the threat on the scheme pretty low and the villain out is you maximize your stabilizing. And I noticed something I've typically been doing recently is not worrying as much about the threat on a scheme. Like if there's a side scheme, I'll remove the threat. But I used to just do as much thwart as possible. And now I kind of relax a little more on the threat and try and focus my damage. Because if I'm doing more damage, I'm winning quicker. Which is enough. It's kind of something that plays into that.
Yeah, see, I'm on the opposite opinion, and I play to stabilize and get the threat down, because once you can always do more damage later, but if the threat goes up, you're done.
I think there's a balance in there, which plays into the Avengers Mansion thing that Carlos started that we didn't actually catch on to. With that, when you have that mansion in hand, you really, and any big card like a helicarrier or something, a setup-y kind of card, you really have to look at it and say, what does this card do for me in the long run? Or in multiplayer, what does this card do for the table? Like, mm-hmm. Avengers Mansion is one of those cards. I may play it down, but in a solo game, yeah, it really doesn't do much for me that turn. In a multiplayer game, now I just help someone else. And now their tempo might be better for that turn. So you kind of got to look at what's going on to figure it out.
Oh, yeah. You always got to be conscious of what other players are doing.
I also think it's a big important thing is what else are you going to do that turn and what do you need to accomplish? If I, on against Claw, turn one, he's got multiple side schemes if you're playing on Expert. He's got multiple side schemes and a minion in play. And so I want to be able to ideally deal with the minion and the side and, you know, get rid of Immortal Claw, or at least very minimum kill the minion most of the time. So if I can do that and play in Avengers Mansion, then great. But if I can't, then, you know, sometimes it's worth discarding it and making your next turn a little weaker just to stabilize the board a little bit. So that's kind of what I think of when I think of tempo, is dealing with immediate threats versus like setting up for a long-term game state.
Yep. And part of it just also comes down to like how long you've been playing the hero and how well you know the hero in your deck, as well as, you know, the villain's deck, because you might know that it's very vital for you to get this one piece down and you've got to get it down or your deck's not going to work. Versus, you know, if you haven't been playing that hero for a while, you might be a little analysis paralysis of like, I don't know what to do with my these cards in my hand. What do they do? So part of it just comes down to playing your hero a lot and realizing what your tempo needs to be, especially in the early game. For example, when I was doing the She-Hulk run through the core box, I figured out pretty quickly that I need to have a Helicarrier and an Avengers Mansion down ASAP so that I can get my hand size to matter, you know, with those, that four card hand size, excuse me, I've been battling a little crud, but with that four card hand size, I realized early on, I've got to have these two core cards in play, or else it's going to go really bad for me, because I'm going to slow down, and the villain's going to outpace me. So learn your deck, learn the hero, and know the encounter set, and it'll help you out a lot in that way.
You bring up a good point, because the hero really changes your tempo. I mean, for example, Captain America, he has some great tempo control because you can do so much with him, and he has to do so much with him on his turn. Whereas, on the opposite end, She-Hulk. Now, She-Hulk is more limited in what she can do, and she's more susceptible to the encounter deck. And so you really have to be more careful and well-timed with her than you would Cap, which is why some heroes come across as easier to play than others, even if the other hero is more straightforward. Forward too, but in general.
And something that we can talk about now, unless anything else has, you know, has something to say on this point, is mulligans. Alan M. on Facebook messaged our Facebook page, so if you want to get in contact with us, this is one way to do it. But thank you, Alan M. He had a good question. He wanted to know about mulligans, and I think that kind of fits into what we're doing, because that's your very first turn of your game. And talk about a time when you really need to pick up the tempo is the first turn of the game. You want to hit the ground running. So what do you guys have as a general strategy for mulligans? Let's, Matt, you haven't said anything in a little bit. Do you have anything input on this one?
Well, I have a lot of things. I generally like to play, my favorites are Black Panther and Ms. Marvel, and both of those, they want some specific steps. So the thing I look for, do I have Golden City? Do I have Amir? Do I have Nakia? You want all these because they provide lots of resource. If you get that right away, that's a huge resource over the life of the probably the most efficiency you can ever get out of a card. I also look for even Avengers Mansion, because if you get an Avengers Mansion turn one, you're effectively operating with an increased hand size. And then the other thing is resource cards, because resource cards help you get these setups easier. Instead of your whole turn being, I'll just play Avengers Mansion, you can play Avengers Mansion and do something else. And then I think the most is Black Panther. Because of his ability, he gets to pick one of his pieces of his, what are they, armor? A Black Panther upgrade for Wakanda Forever. And you gotta think, because sometimes I pick it up just for the extra resource, so I usually take Energy Daggers or Tactical Genius depending on the scenario. But other times, I need damage right away. We'll take Panther Claws. I need two Thwarts, so we'll take Tactical Genius, because we have but he Thwarts right now. My default is Vibranium Suit, because it heals you. It heals you 2 and does 2, and that's really good. Then it's like, hey, we're up against Ultron. We'll get Energy Daggers. It's all about looking at the hand, you have to figure out, what am I doing with this hand, and what am I doing with the upgrade I'm going to be getting out into the setup?
Also, an important thing to consider when mulligan is how deep you want to go into your deck quickly. Like with, for example, with Iron Man, I don't just like. Well, before I say that example, I saw once a team comment on video, and they were doing like, pick the cards that you're gonna play, pick the cards you're gonna pay for them. And if you got cards left over, then you mulligan. Like, there's no point in discarding a card to try to get a better card if you're just going to use that better card to pay for another card in your hand. So most of the time, that also helps you. You're not digging to your deck quickly. You're not going to have to shuffle and get an encounter card as quickly. So think about that. But if you're playing Iron Man, for example, your mindset should be like, you need to get those upgrades out as quick as possible. So you want to shorten the amount of time you're going to take to go through your whole deck, because you might have armor pieces in the last 20, 10 cards of your deck. So when that happens, just even if you're going to use a card, like even if there's an unimportant card, like if you're playing Iron Man Justice and you got a Surveillance Team in hand, which is a card that you don't normally want to play right away. You just play when you got nothing else to. And you know, well, I can use this to pay for that. No, just discard it and draw another card to see if you can get to the cards that you need quicker. Because that's your goal. And more important, that's how you change from like a tempo where you're going to be pressured to a tempo where you got chance to start putting pressure, because that's the cards that you need and the cards that you want to get. So that's something really to think about. Like, what are the cards you're going to play? How are you going to pay for them? And do you need to dig for important pieces or not?
I'm on that, the more of the spectrum away from what Team Covenant said. Now, I totally agree with what they're saying, but a lot of the times I hard mulligan for specific cards that I want, and now usually I have a wide variety of cards I want in the start. So it's not like I'm digging for one card in a 40 card deck. That's not the case. Like for Iron Man, I'm digging for upgrades. Now, if I have more than one upgrade in hand, maybe like let's say I have the Gauntlets and Arc Reactor in hand and then some other cards, I probably won't discard those because I know I'm just going to use them as resources. But cards that I find useless or limited use until later in the game, for example, something like First Aid, I'm going to almost definitely discard that card at the beginning to get a new one into my hand. Because usually I just want to go through my deck as fast as possible and get the most important cards. Now, this does vary on the hero.
Yeah, like for Captain America, Captain America is, I haven't played him that much, but he's not that much of a setup hero. He's like a hero that's ready from turn one almost. So I don't think that you want to try to just go directly into digging with him.
I actually disagree. Most of my cap decks, I dig because I want Super Soldier Serum. Steve's Apartment is always a good pick to get. Agent 13 is not bad in most scenarios now. And like a lot of his cards I want, and they may not necessarily just be his cards, but maybe cards in the deck. Like sometimes I really like, if I have a Nick Fury in hand, I might discard some other cards and then play Nick Fury and get more cards in my hand and just go through a lot of my deck early on so I can get to what I want quicker.
Mm-hmm. You know, that discussion about going through your deck brings another discussion about tempo, because at this point we've talked a lot about tempo as something that relates directly in how you are preparing and responding or thinking about responding to the encounter deck with like mulligan and everything. But the other question is, how do you think about tempo when you're building your deck? And I bring this up because in most card games, the answer is simple. Build the smallest decks you can, draw the cards you need the quicker as possible, and play them. But Marvel Champion brings up a conundrum, because since you're using cards to pay for cards, if you get like the perfect hands, like if you lessen your deck to like 20 cards or 10 cards, and then it turns out that you're drawing all the right cards, but now you have to pay for the cards you want to play with the cards that you like, that changes things up a bit. So I'm not saying that in Marvel Champions you really want to go for bigger decks always, but it makes the bigger deck question a real issue, where in a lot of card games it's a non-issue, and Marvel Champions it becomes an issue, because you want to think about what is it that you're getting from your deck, what is it that you're playing from it, and how do you want to go about that? Do you just want to like try to get like just to constantly go through your deck and play the same cards over and over, or are there cards that you want a specific amount of time? So do you play, since it's a very conditional card, do you play just the once you can always hold it, even though that's going to hurt your tempo because you're basically blocking a card in your hand because you're not using it and you're drawing less cards every turn? Or do you play all three? That way, whenever the condition comes up, you have more possibilities to answer with that card. Now, I don't have the answer to that question, and part of the point of this episode is not to give listeners like an answer to like, this is the strategy that you should play Marvel Champions with, but the kind of questions you want to have in your head while you're playing the game, while the game's growing, while new heroes and new cards are coming up and deck building gets more interesting. And it's like, how do I want my deck to play against the encounter deck?
Yeah, I fully agree with that. That's what I do. It's like, what is my plan in this deck? What am I trying to do? With Black Panther, often either I'm just using the resources to play efficient turns, or am I trying to play a bunch of upgrades and supports so my deck is so thin I can just cycle through Wakanda Forevers? Is my goal in this Cap deck to improve Cap and keep readying him? Is my goal to stun lock the villain? Part of, like, and even when you're playing, it carries into, it's like, you gotta know what your game plan is. You can remove, like, 10 threat, but if you're supposed to be trying to do damage, and you're trying to do damage, then removing 10 threat for low cost isn't gonna do you much, and then you get killed.
I have a good example of that. My, this is an older deck that's on the YouTube channel. It came out when Cap came out. My Who Needs the Panther deck, which is specifically designed that you play your allies and you focus on leadership as an aspect, and you don't deal with Black Panther. You're not trying to play his upgrades. You're not trying to use Wakanda Forever. You're trying to focus on the allies. Now, is that the best deck in the world? Probably not. But it was something that really brings into this topic, is I chose a goal I want for the deck, and then I built it with that goal in mind.
And that goes back to, like I said earlier, you know your deck. You've got to know what your win condition is. You've got to know why you're playing this deck and how it plays. And that comes with reps. You know, most of the time you're not going to know. You'll have an idea of what you're wanting to accomplish with the deck, obviously. I mean, that's why you build a deck. But it takes playing that deck, at least for me, you know, a few times, maybe once or twice. And then you kind of get the hang of it, of like, okay, this is how this deck functions, you know, and then you might make tweaks because you want it to function a little different way and you see the weaknesses, but it comes with the reps.
Yeah. That, and like my mentioned, my deck where you play a bunch of upgrades in Black Panther and play Wakanda Forevers. I tried that solo. And then I realized I'm spending all this time setting up. Meanwhile, the villain is getting super huge and I wasn't prepared to deal with schemes. I wasn't prepared to, if I get too many minions, because like I can't play too many Wakanda Forevers while also playing all these upgrades and stuff, and it just the game runs away from you. And so it can work in multiplayer, but if I want to do it solo, you got to adapt it.
There's also something to be said, because the game is designed with pre-built decks in mind. The hero packs are released in pre-built decks, so now this deck building aspect of it, now that's something you have to figure out what the goal is, what you want to do with the deck, which is where John comes in with the reps and figuring out what the deck does. But some people, I acknowledge, don't build their decks. They just use the pre-builds. And that, so then this kind of thing comes in. Now you have to look at the deck and get the overall theme. Now, I know they include strategy guides in the pamphlets that come with them, but that's just something that I think we should touch upon because of the release model.
What is touch upon the fact that it's pre-built decks?
I'm saying, like, we were deep diving into that about deck building, but I'm saying, to acknowledge the players who don't deck build, who just use the pre-built decks, that this is still something that comes up. You still have to know your deck. It's just, now it's a matter of this deck doing. Now that's on you to kind of have to look at and play and figure out. Because there's a group of players who just want the pre-built.
They don't want to deck build. They just want to play the game, you know, get the packs And that's great. You know, that's a way to play the game. There's, you know, nothing wrong with that. It's just, you know, you have to think of it like as if your buddy just handed you a deck and said, okay, here you go. You're like, okay, what is this? Well, you do for that. You go for this, this, and this. And you just got to play it and get the reps. This is good stuff. Anybody else have anything to add?
Think about tempo and resource and everything, not just in terms of heroes, but also in terms of the aspects. It's not the same when you're playing aggression and you're trying. This is more of a solo thing, and multiplayer, it changes a little because everybody tends to play different aspects, so they kind of balance each other out. But in solo, when you're playing aggression and more like a hero that got spoiled today, that's going to be very interesting. where you really, your choice between trying to stabilize or trying to beat down the villain becomes even more important, because you're not going to be able to thwart that efficiently, versus with like justice, where you can say my time until I can kill the villain mainly with my signature cards, or in leadership where it's all about setting up, so taking risk to not doing that much, because you know next turn you can combine a leaf from the front with three allies and just like roll over the villain and the schemes. So think about also, and this is from when you're building and this is from when you're playing, think about what that aspect does best and why are you building that way, or why are you deciding to attack or set up.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. All right. Well, is there anything else you want to add? If not, we can, I think, call this an episode. This is a really good discussion. It ended up a lot of tangents, but we finally got there to an awesome, worthwhile discussion.
Yeah, but and more importantly, like to close the discussion on tempo, it's not about coming with a definitive answer. It's about coming with the right questions. Like, just think about that. And maybe we didn't come up with the right questions today, but while you're playing, just think about that. And if you think like there's something that we're missing, or there's something that a lot of players are not talking about, just go to the Discord and talk about it.
Awesome. Well, great. Well, I think we can call this an episode then. But before we go, listeners, be sure to check out our social media. We have Facebook, Discord, and Patreon, where we post updates and connect with you, the listeners. We also have a YouTube channel with gameplay videos. Make sure to subscribe and like to keep up to date on the latest from Dexcelsior. Links to all of these are in the description. Thank you for listening. And as always, Excelsior! Onwards and upwards.
Let's pause for a second, because I'm about to die laughing and I'm just trying so hard not to.
Okay, I gotta just stop the
Let me do my job. Isn't it? Right.
Oh my gosh, the waffles.
Avengers assemble to eat the waffles.
Oh my gosh. Okay, wow. We gotta pull it together. We gotta pull it together. Okay. All right, Sam. Ooh, okay.